Oh, Lord, we just thank you for this time this morning to come into your presence as a body of brothers and sisters, to get into your word, to be equipped, to be encouraged, to be led, to be fed. We need you, Jesus. I need you, please, Father. Strengthen my heart and my mind. Give me clarity, Lord, to preach and teach your word with integrity in a way that would honor you, that would please you, Lord. I don't want to leave this place ruining your word. We want to honor it. We want to honor you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you for all that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 So the book of Luke is going to take us probably about a good year and a half to get through. So if you're here today, this is a good day to start and follow us. If you don't live in the area, as some of you do not, and you leave, you can catch us on online at arcbiblechurch.com and catch the rest of the series. But today, as we get into the book of Luke, the gospel of Luke, I should say, it's going to be more of teaching than preaching. How many of you guys know you need both? We need the word, and preaching is a proclamation of the truth that you know. But some people, you know, they're not into teaching, they just want to hear preaching. But you know what? The word of God, we need both. You need to be taught, and you need to get stoked about what you've been taught. It's kind of like the word of God is kind of like how we handle food. You know, we're going into the holidays, and you can't just live off of pumpkin pie. I don't care what they tell you. Your teeth are going to rot out, and you're going to be acting weird around people. So you need like fruits, and you need vegetables. So what we do when we come to the word, we want to be informed. We do want to be instructed. We don't want to be ignorant in the scriptures. Nobody wants that. We want to grow up in the Lord because that's what he requires of us. And so what we're going to do today, we're going to be talking and teaching about the introduction to the book of Luke. Now, I know some of you have probably gone through the Gospel of Luke before, and you might be sitting back like you got it all figured out and you know the book from the beginning to the end, but I'm going to promise you this. God's going to speak to you in a fresh, whole new way. Do you believe it? You got to believe it or you're not going to receive it. And that's the truth. If you come to God's word like you just know it all and you've heard it all before, guess what you're going to get? Nothing. But if we come and we've got an open heart and we're humble, we say, Lord, speak, your servant's listening. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to take an old truth and give it to you in a new way that you never saw it before. And you're going to be saying, glory, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. And that's what we're looking for. So in Luke, we're going to be touching on a few things here today. I hope that you guys got a pen and a piece of paper to take some notes this morning as we're getting into it. First of all, when you guys are studying a book, you want to know one. The first thing you want to know is who wrote the book, right? Basic Bible study. Who wrote the book of Luke? Luke wrote the book of Luke. And it's called the Gospel of Luke. Do you guys remember how I was talking to you about how words have pictures? Do you remember that? Right before worship. It wasn't too long ago. Are you guys like fish? I just told you, words have pictures to them. And the word gospel has a picture to it too, and it means the good news. And in Luke chapter 19, it's a foundational verse in the Gospel of Luke. We see a picture of what the word gospel means, and it was with little Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus? Little man was he. He was in a sycamore tree. Zacchaeus. And Jesus had went to this guy, Zacchaeus, church, and he had burnt his family. He had burnt his friends. He had turned his back on God. He was backslidden, doing his own thing his own way. And consequently, what he got for that was no one wanted to be around him. How many of you guys know that you can only be creepy for so long? And then people are going to be like, I got to go. Texting them and they don't get back to you forever. Well, this was Zacchaeus. But he wanted to see Jesus. And in Luke chapter 19, it says, Jesus came down and saw Zacchaeus up in a tree. How humiliating. He was a midget. And he's climbing a tree just to see Jesus. And like some of us, maybe we've burnt people in our path, done a lot of things that we regret. And if you're the kind of person that came to Jesus and you didn't do those things, maybe you were a good person, you think that you were, we burnt God. We've transgressed against God. And the word gospel means when Jesus came up and he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree, he says, come down, I'm going to fellowship with you, Zacchaeus. And they went to his house and they partied. Did you ever read it? And you know what Jesus said? For I came to seek and save that which was lost. Do you know what that taught me? That I didn't have to clean up my life before he showed up in it. Did that just hit anybody? Thank you, Lord. Hey, God's good. And that's the gospel, that you didn't have to have it figured out before he showed up. Is that amazing? Don't sit there and stare at me. Praise God over that. I mean, come on. That's the gospel of Luke. Luke is the writer. He's the author, inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God. And it's one of four books in the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So the Gospels are like a diamond. It's got these different faucets. Faucets? Facets. We have a teacher right here that'll totally correct my ignorance. Thank you, I lean on Jesus. Faucets. Faucets. Facets. Facets. I'm just trying to get you mad in church. So we got facets. Listen, the Word of God, check this out. If you ever wonder why we've got four Gospels, it's because it's like this. We've got facets in a diamond. Am I getting it? And so when you hold this diamond up, you're like, this is beautiful. I would buy it from my girl if I wasn't so broke. But it's TV dinner tonight. I digress. So you're looking at this diamond, it's beautiful. And you hold it up and you admire it for all its beauty. And then you know what you do? You ever so slightly turn it. And you know what you see? Some more. And it lights up. Girls, you know what I'm talking about. You know what diamonds look like. And when we have the gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke is a turning of the diamond to see Jesus in a whole new way like we've never seen him before. And so Matthew wrote to the Jews. Write this down. This is important to know. Matthew wrote to the Jews that to show Jesus as the king. Mark wrote to the Romans to show Jesus as a servant in action. And Luke wrote about Jesus in the light of him being the perfect man. You see, the Greeks were all about perfection in the human body. Now, you know as well as I do, after 40, you don't have no mirrors in the bathroom, right? If you do, hey, thank God for it, right? But some of us want to cover that up. But the Greeks were all about perfection in the body. And Luke portrays Jesus Christ as perfection in the body, the perfect human who is also God, the hypostatic union. And so John looked at Jesus from the angle of not king of the Jews, not Jesus as a servant, not as the perfect man, but as God in the flesh. In fact, I believe it was in John chapter 1, verse 14, that he said that the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And when John said dwelt among us, the word dwelt meant tabernacle. And what John was saying is that Jesus put on flesh and moved right into your neighborhood to where you could see him and know what God is like by examining his life. And it takes us back to the Old Testament, the tabernacle. Do you guys remember the tabernacle where they would worship? Do you know what the tabernacle was covered in? Badger skin. Come on, Lord. Ain't you ever been to IKEA? Badger skin. But on the inside of it was gold and gems, beauty, majesty on the inside of it. And like Jesus, he didn't look like much walking around, but on the inside, hey, I just want to tell you guys something who are always trying to change your looks and appearances and not happy about your weight and your eyebrows and your eyelashes and this and that. Hey, be you and let Jesus shine through. Hey, do that. Go walking around and you start letting the Son of God come out of you and people are going to take notice. Forget all those eyelash extensions and all of that stuff you guys are out there doing. You don't need all of that stuff. You're beautiful just the way you are. Amen? Amen. You're made in the image of God. Let's keep it that way. And so, four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this is an interesting fact. Luke is the longest gospel out of them all. In fact, Luke outwrites everybody in the New Testament by a lot. Paul wrote about 13 to 14 books in the New Testament. If you took the book of Luke and Acts and put them together, because he wrote the both of them, He wrote more of the New Testament than anybody. Did you know that? He also wrote the book of Acts. So we've got what's called a prequel and a sequel. Kind of like Star Wars. Any nerds in here today? Come on, raise your hand. You guys into Star Wars? Okay, listen. I don't get it and I don't want to. I don't understand it. Why can't they just go in order, Carol? After I found out who Luke's father was, I was done. That's all I needed to know. That was the last time I saw it. Now it's all jumbled up and weird. You following me? Come on, just go in order. You guys don't got to get creative. But Acts is the sequel to Luke. Luke shows Jesus on earth, and then he shows how the implications of Jesus ascending to the Father after the resurrection, giving us the Holy Spirit, and starting the church here today. So we've got a prequel and a sequel. Who wrote Acts? Who wrote Luke? All right, so we've got a prequel and a sequel. Now, who was he personally? I'm going to introduce you to him. Luke was a Gentile. You guys know what a... You guys, some of you are really Christianized. You know what a Gentile is, right? Us. Most of us, unless you're a Jew. He was a Gentile, which means Luke didn't grow up going to church. Luke didn't grow up knowing all of the songs at church. He would have been singing off key and in the wrong verse all the time. Anybody? That bothers me. I was telling our worship team today, I hate when we learn a new song sometimes because I don't know it. You guys do, and I'm over here trying to figure it out. Like, I know what's going on. I don't know. Have you ever done that? How embarrassing it is? Like, you get in a church and they're singing songs and they're just praising God. You don't know anything. You're just like, hummity, hummity. You start speaking in tongues. Hummity, shummity, shummity. Right? That was Luke. He didn't know nothing about church. He didn't know about Christian stuff. He didn't know about reading Psalms. He called it palms. Amen? Amen? You guys remember those days? Pastor says, turn to Psalms. And you're like, oh, I got palms. I don't know, right? He was rough like some of us. He was rough like some of us. It's okay, you guys. But he plugged in and he figured it out. He stuck with it. Sometimes you do got to stick it out, don't you? That was Luke. He had to stick it out. And so he's the one writing the gospel. Also, too, he was a friend of Paul. He was Paul's doctor. We know that he was going around ministering with Paul, 2 Timothy 1:11. When Paul was going to be beheaded, he said, everybody's left me. Wow. Rough way to end your ministry, Paul. Poured out into so many people. Helped them out with gas money, watch their kids, bring them to church, pray over them. And you know what happens? They left them. You don't know what that's like unless you've done it. You don't know what it's like pouring into people and then they just leave and had enough of you when they ain't got no more from you. Luke alone has been with me, is what Paul said. And he was a faithful friend. Thank God for him, right? We all need some Lukes in our life. And Luke would bandage him up and take care of him because he was a physician. By the way, you need prayer and a doctor, okay? There's people that I'll read the news and I'll see people have kids that are sick and they won't take them to the doctor because they're Christians and all they want to do is pray over their kids. Have you seen it? And then their kid ends up dead and they end up in court. And what they do is the foundation and the basis of it is the book of Acts. They say, hey, Jesus was just healing everybody. Nobody went to the doctor. But they forget the one who wrote those stories was a doctor. And so we need to just kind of remember, listen, if you got something going on, pray and go to the doctor. Go get it checked out. Because there's just some things in this life, flax oil and fish oil just ain't going to fix. We need prayer and a doctor. Because you know what? Sometimes the Lord will heal you, and sometimes he'll say, go to the doctor, because I'll have him do it. So Paul was good friends with Luke, and Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. He took care of Paul. He stuck by Paul. He was with Paul as a good friend. And also, he was academically and intellectually Luke was a doctor, so he didn't get his degree off of 2995.com. He went to school. He was educated. He was very intelligent. And what he did is he took what he knew and he used it to serve in the church. And I'm only telling you guys that because there's some people who say, man, my job gets in the way of me serving. Oh man, if I could only just get bumped down to like a half an hour a week. That's what I tell myself. God, just bring me down to half an hour a week. This job is catching me up. You know what Luke did? He took what he knew and he served with it. Like my homie right here, Kenny. He makes hoodies. You know what he did? Hey, this is what I do. Can I serve? No, get out of here. Could you imagine that? Thank God for people like Kenny. Thank God I've got son-in-laws, and I know I don't brag on them as much as I should. But they go to school. Guy's an electrician. Randall's a plumber. Now we need a doctor and attorney. We'll be good. But thank God for them, huh? How many times have we had electrical issues and Guy was right there taking it all apart and redoing it so we're safe up in here? How many times have we had plumbing issues? You know, and Randall comes in. We want to take, listen, I'm just trying to tell you guys, I don't know where you're at, but take what you've been blessed with and bless. Remember that. Your job's not a hang up to ministry. It's the way into ministry. Hello. You can do it. And that's what Paul did. And so he took what he knew. He's a doctor, ministered to Paul, did work out on the road. I'm sure of it. And that's who he was. Now check this out. We're almost ready to close out. This is just an introduction. How are we doing so far? Introductions are hard. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm doing my best. You guys are making me work. But I'm doing what I can do. So who's he writing to? The most coolest name in the whole world, Theophilus. Is that not cool? If you guys, anybody pregnant? No? Anybody want to be? Like, you guys working on it? Okay, so listen. If it happens and you're having a boy, this is what you're going to name him. Theophilus. Okay? That's what you're going to name them. I've tried to push the name on my kids a few times. They wouldn't go for it. One boy got named Randall. Don't clap. But I was home for Theophilus. Anyways, Theophilus, that's who he's writing the book to. Guess who he wrote Acts to? Theophilus. He wrote, just say it with me, Theophilus. Say it like you're in the movie 300. Theophilus. Yeah, that's him. That's him. He's cool. And so he's a friend of Paul's. And what amazes me about this when we look at Theophilus, can I just tell you something important about it? You guys, you know, we look at the Bible and we say, so what, Jason? It's written to Theophilus. I'm going to tell you so what. This Luke and Acts is one of the biggest books, if it's combined, that anybody could write to anybody. It's huge in volume. Huge. And you know who the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write it to? One person. One person named Theophilus. You know what got me excited about that? Is that the Lord told me, Jason, I don't see you guys as a herd. I'm looking at you individually. God knows us individually. He's intimate with us one-on-one. We're here as a church. We got these people in the church. You know what? God doesn't see us as this, all these people. He sees us individually. He knows every, I hate that verse sometimes, every hair on our head. But he does. And he knows us. And here's the thing that's so cool about it. He could have wrote it to nations. He could have wrote it to a group of people. He could have wrote it to a church. And he wrote it to Theophilus, one guy, trying to figure it out, trying to make sense of Jesus and salvation and putting pieces together, because sometimes they're all over the place and we don't always get it. You know, and we blend in with the crowd, but sometimes we feel like we're left out of the crowd. And God says, you know what, I know you personally, and I'm going to speak to you individually, Theophilus. He's got a cool name. Do you know what it means? lover of God. I'm telling you guys what, I just gave you a baby name. You thought I was playing. Lover of God. That's what Theophilus's name means. He's a lover of God. Now, one of the cool things about it is that he was probably, what we understand about him is really, we don't know a lot. But from tradition, what we do have is that a lot of scholars believe that Theophilus actually owned Luke. That Luke was his doctor. And he set him free, and he funded his mission to go out and investigate all the things that we're going to see in the Gospel of Luke. Did you know that? Funded him. Paid for it out of his own back pocket. And I said that to say this because listen, you never know how far your giving will go. Because 2,000 years later, we're sitting in a church in Newport, Oregon, and we're still talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's all because of one man's faithfulness to say, I'm willing to give financially. And before you think I fleece the flock, I want you to know I go to work every day too. I got a job. I take my finances and I give too because I believe in the mission. And by the way, we're not just speaking to each other right here. Our messages are online going out all over the world. And you, because of your guys' faithfulness, and you are generous and we're so thankful for that. Like, you know, we don't take up an offering because you guys give. People are getting saved. We're getting comments from all over the place. We can see in Malaysia. I'm telling you, it blows my mind. If Newport would just catch on, we'd be doing great. Bring a friend next Sunday. Let's fill these chairs up. But hey, you never know how far your giving's going to go. So if you don't give, I want to encourage you to think about it. God will use it, just like he used the finances for from Theophilus. Now, let's just read verses 1 through 4. We're going to finish this up. Verse 1, let's start there. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses. Now, when he starts out, and he says, insomuch as many have taken in hand to set in order the narrative of the things which have been fulfilled, what Luke is telling Theophilus is, there's a lot of people saying a lot of stuff about Jesus. But just because they're talking about Jesus doesn't mean they've got an accurate account of Jesus. Sometimes people can talk a lot about things that they just don't know nothing about. And unfortunately, with my wife, I am that guy. I am a man. And so when she asks me questions that I have no idea about quilting, I try to put bits and pieces together that I've heard online and give her an answer. And it's a mess. Like, if my wife ever listened to me about quilting, it would be the ugliest stuff in the world. Don't do it. And she knows. She'll ask me a question. I'll just randomly shoot stuff off. And she's like, what? I'm like, never mind. You guys know anybody that just talks out this? They just talk about stuff like they know it, and they just really don't have a clue as to what they're talking about. Luke is like this. He's like, listen, there's a lot of people out there like that, Theophilus, and I want to set the record straight and give it to you like it happened. Oh, I'm so thankful for Luke. Look what Luke said. Where did Luke get his information? You know, Luke wasn't an eyewitness of these things, but he was a doctor. He was intellectual. He didn't just take faith at somebody's word for it. Maybe you're here today and you're the same way, where you're like, I got to investigate some things. That was Luke. And this is who he investigated. He says, verse 2, as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of the things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellente Theophilus. Right? That you may know the certainty of the things in which you were instructed. Eyewitnesses. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert as we're getting into the book of Luke. You know where Luke got his information? From the people who experienced it. Do you know what he would do? Check this out. Could you guys ever, would this ever stoke anybody that if you could like get on Doctor Who and hop in that time machine and go back and interview people like Mary? Could you imagine interviewing Mary? Really? Did you get, so like you were a virgin, right? I mean, that's how that whole thing went. And then what? Like all of a sudden baby bump and did you tweet it? Were you throwing it out there online? What were people saying? Were they sharing it? Were they liking it? Were they down with it? Did they say you were out of your mind? How did you deal with it? Guess what virgin in Nazareth is pregnant? Could you imagine that? I mean, seriously, you guys got to think about this. It was bonkers. And then he would have got with the guy that was, he couldn't walk. He was all banged up, handicapped, but he had some crazy friends with some crazy faith, and they put him on a mat, and they dragged him up a roof because they couldn't get through the front door of the house because it was packed out because Jesus was there. And asking that guy, did your friends really drag you up on that roof and dig a hole in that guy's house and throw you down there? And he had been like, yeah, man, I was telling him, don't drop me, I'll die. And they're like, forget it, Jesus is there. He'll raise you back up. Shut up, let's rock. Man, Luke talked to Mary. He would have talked to that guy. All these people, one-on-one. Would any of you want to do that? Oh, I would love to do it. But you know what? He did it for us. And he gives it to Theophilus, and he says, most excellent Theophilus, here, we're going to close with this, that you may know the certainty. Say certainty with me. Of those things in which you were instructed. Worship team, come on up here. That you may know with certainty the things you were instructed. There's a problem there, isn't there? Do you see it? That you may know with certain the things you've been instructed. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. The problem is that you can be instructed and not certain. That's the problem. And as we close this out this morning, I'm going to tell you something about Theophilus. He wasn't certain. The whole reason you have Luke and Acts is because of one man's uncertainty. Was he uncertain because he hadn't heard bits and pieces? Sure he did. But he wasn't convinced. And he wanted to be. He wanted to so badly believe in a resurrected Savior that offers eternal life, that whoever puts their hope and faith and trust in him will not have condemnation, but will pass from death unto life. He wanted so bad to know that he could be free from the bondage of sickness and death and hopelessness in this place. He just wanted to know, guys. That's it. And as we close this out, there's two kinds of people in here today. We have Theophiluses in here today. And you so badly want to believe what you've been instructed. You so badly want to have that hope. But if you're honest with yourself, the reality of it is you got some questions and you're not connecting. The Gospel of Luke, this is what I want you to remember. God has given us his word like he gave it to Theophilus, not just to instruct us, but to impact us. Did you hear what I said? And if you're that person here today and you're like, Jason, I read my Bible, bits and pieces, and I don't fully get it, and I feel like everybody else gets it in the church, but I'm kind of on the outside looking in, and I've been instructed of some things, but I haven't been impacted by them, and that's you here today. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to change that in you. If like Theophilus, you come to him and you say, I'm never going to give up until you give me what I came here for, and it's you, Jesus. Theophilus said, I don't care how much it costs. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what you got to do. Luke, you get out there and you figure it out and you bring back word to me because I can trust you and I need to know. And for others of us in here today, we're on the other side of it. We're the Lukes. We've got the word. We know the word. We've experienced the word. Let me ask you something, Luke. Who's your Theophilus? Who's your Theophilus, Luke? Who are you pouring into? Who are you putting under your wing? Because I'm going to tell you what, there's people out there, you think you don't know a lot about the word of God, you know a lot more than the next person. And all of us can take somebody and teach them and instruct them and live with them and love them and pray with them and show them Jesus, just like Luke is doing Theophilus, because the word of God is given to us not just for our instruction, not that we have that instruction, but that we're impacted by it. And so would you guys stand with me this morning? I'm going to pray over you guys today and remember that we remember this. We don't want to just be instructed, but we want to be impacted. And not only do we want to be impacted, we want to impact our community for the love of Jesus Christ and that he offers through the Savior's blood on the cross. So just bow your head with me for a minute. We're going to close this out in prayer. Father, I pray over everybody here this day. Father, first of all, for the Theophilus that come into your presence today. They've walked through the front doors. They want to believe what they hear. They want to experience your Holy Spirit. They want to know forgiveness. They don't want to just be instructed about forgiveness. God, they need to feel it here today. There's somebody in here today, I just know it in my heart, that has been instructed about forgiveness, but you've never personally been impacted by it. I don't know who you are. But the Lord's speaking right to you today. You are forgiven. You are righteous. You are holy. You are redeemed. And you know what? Sometimes you got to walk through some difficult places to understand and see that. But God wants you to know today that you're forgiven and you're loved, Theophilus. Seek the Lord. I believe the Lord's telling you today, if you're a Theophilus and you've been instructed but not impacted, I believe the Lord's telling you right now to seek his face and draw near to him and call out to him. The Bible tells us that when we call out to Jesus and we seek the Lord and we go to him, he'll in no way cast us out. Seek the Lord, trust the Lord, press into the Lord like never before. And let that word wash your heart. And Father, for the Lukes in here today, my brothers, my sisters who love you, who have been impacted by you, who are filled with your Holy Spirit, God, I pray that right now that you just make us the most uncomfortable people in the world, miserable, God, until we go out looking for our Theophiluses to pour out into. May we never grow complacent, Father, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, that the redeemed may say so. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Let's give God a shout of praise this morning. Hey, listen, don't head out of here as always. This is our chance to partake of communion, to come into the sacrifice of the Son, to give him thanks, to forgive the people around us that we've had grudges with, just as Christ has forgiven us. This is how we take communion. Remember what Paul said? Let every man examine himself that he should not take of the Lord's cup in an unworthy manner. And what Paul meant by that was this. Don't take this holding a grudge against somebody else, because God has let that grudge go with you. So listen, let's just get into this. One more last song, worship song with Jesus. If there's somebody you need to forgive, forgive them. If there's something you need to repent of it and be cleansed. Walk out of this place washed, new, and in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.